Look at this. I got room to move. I got room to talk my hands. I got room to... Ow! That's the moon. Told you I was going to do it, right? That's the moonwalk. I invented that myself. Watch for it. It's going to be the next big craze down in Hollywood. Okay. I need a verse to open up in prayer with. Who's got a verse for me? Somebody, anybody? Ooh, he's fast. Psalm 19:14. That's a good one. Okay. Thanks, Joe. Psalm 19:14. Okay, let's pray. Our God and Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts here be acceptable in your sight. Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And the saints of the BFA said, amen. Amen. He's our strength and our Redeemer. Beautiful words, right? You know, it's funny, just the other day at work, a friend was poking me. He said, look at Wally, he's a Christian, he's a Christian, he's a follower. But that's the mentality of some people, right? You know, Christianity is for the weak, you know. You know what I say to that, eh? You better believe it, buddy. Because the last time I checked, I could not redeem myself back to God. The last time I checked, I could not forgive my own sins. The last time I checked, I could not live a life holy and acceptable to God. I tried that living without God lifestyle, man. It doesn't work. I don't want to go there. See, but Peter tells us that Satan is like a roaring lion, right? Walking around the earth, seeing who he could devour, seeing who he could rip apart, seeing whose life he can destroy. And we see him at work in the garden with Adam and Eve and in the wilderness with Jesus. What, that's it? Deceiving and tempting? That's the roaring lion? Not very frightening, right? But it is, because Satan knows that that's all he has to do, is turn you away from God. Am I squeaking here? All he has to do is turn you away from God and keep you away from God, because Satan knows that the soul that sins shall die. Satan knows that the wages of sin is death. Satan knows that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Satan knows that at the end of all things, when you stand before the judgment seat of God, that great white throne, and your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, there's no getting in, right? You should be cast into the lake of fire reserved for Satan and his angels. So yes, it's scary. But yes, he's our strength, and he's our Redeemer. Moving right along into the sermon here, I have a saying. If you ever want to get to know somebody, throw a dog cookie into their lunch pail. Allow me to explain. About 12 years ago or so, I got a new partner at work. He'd been on the railroad for a few months already, but I had never met him. He did all his training on the other crews, on the other shifts. So when we became partners, it was like brand spanking new, man. Get to know each other right from scratch. So time went on and things were going good. Till one night, I blow everything. Anyways, one night... walking into work, walking into the building where we changed into our work clothes, and there on the shelf was this lunch pail. I just happened to have a dog cookie in my pocket from walking my dog that afternoon. You know, so I smiled to myself, lifted up the lid to his lunch bucket, threw the dog cookie in there, and off we went. Halfway through the night, sure enough, we're in the locomotive on our way to the mine site. My partner's sifting through his lunch pail looking for something to eat, and he pulls out the dog cookie. I'd forgotten all about it. And he looks at me, he says, "Did you put this in my lunch pail?" I said, "It wasn't me. I don't have a dog." But he knew I was joking because he knew I had a dog. Well, he took that cookie and he threw it across the engine and it smashed against the wall into like 1,000 pieces, man. Well, maybe not 1,000. Give me some grace to exaggerate a little bit here. I'm telling you a story. So the cookie smashed into like 10,000 pieces, man. And this is true. And he looked at me and he said, "I don't go into other people's lunch pails. I don't appreciate people going to mine." Well, not the reaction I was looking for, right? Not the response I had anticipated. And that's what getting to know somebody is all about, right? That's one of the main things, is anticipating their response, knowing their reaction. It's different than knowing about someone. How many thousands of people in the world knew about Michael Jackson? What small percentage of them actually knew Michael Jackson? It's different than knowing something abstract like a language. You know, the ball's in your court, it's up to you. You take the course, you do the studying, the repetitiveness, and at the end you can say, "I know a language. I know Spanish. Dos cervezas, por favor. A couple of cold ones, please." It's not like knowing something inanimate, like a car. You're going shopping for a new vehicle. You do the research. You take the car for a test drive. You study. You kick the tires. Then at the end, you can say, I know this vehicle. And I'm not going to buy it because it's lemon, because it's a Toyota. And Chester's sitting there thinking, hold on, I drive a Toyota. What are you talking about? Getting to know a person is different because a person has a mind, they have emotions, and they have a will. As you can see on the chart behind me, Steve, where's my chart? I'm just kidding, Steve, I'm just kidding. See, I just threw a dog cookie into Steve's lunch bucket, right? Now I know something about Steve, that when you pull a fast one on him, this is the reaction you're going to get. Right? Now I know that. See, but a person has a mind. They think. They have emotions. They feel. And they have a will. They make decisions. They make choices. And one of the choices they make is how much of themselves they are going to reveal to you. It's up to them. How much you are going to get to know them. The Apostle Paul says that this, no one knows a man but the spirit of a man. So if you want to get to know somebody, you got to get to know the inner person. So if it's that challenging to get to know a person, how much more challenging, you know where I'm going with this, right? Is it to get to know a God? The God. Our God. The God who spoke this universe into his existence. The God who upholds it with all his power. The God whose ways and judgments are far beyond ours. What's it say? Unsearchable and beyond finding out. The God we have never seen. The God we don't have the privilege of sitting down and talking to. How do we get to know him? We cannot be thankful enough for the Bible, can we? For in it, we find the mind of God. We know what he thinks. We get to know how he feels. And we get to know his will. Where would we be without the Word of God? The living written Word, and the Word, as we read earlier, that was in the beginning. The Word that was with God, that Word that was God. The Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Two wonderful resources we have to get to know our God. So along our journey to know him, pardon me, we got two things ahead of us, a couple of carrots dangling there. And one is to understand him. The other is to trust him, or as we say in the Christian world, to have faith, right? I'll give you a wonderful example. Larry King came out with a book earlier this year called My Remarkable Journey. Has anybody here read it? Me neither. That's okay. But he was interviewed by Gian Gameschi on the radio program Q on CBC Radio back in May. Did anybody catch that? Well, I did. But that's okay because I downloaded the podcast and we got a segment of it for you to listen to. Steve, play the clip. He's not falling for it this time, right? Don't have the clip. But anyways, in the interview, it's a very interesting interview. Larry King's a very interesting person. He's got a very interesting job interviewing very interesting people, right? But the part of the interview that really grabbed me was when they began to discuss the fact that he was agnostic. He holds to the argument that there is absolutely no evidence of the existence of God. You get goosebumps just thinking about that. And he goes on to explain why. He said it happened over a course of time from interviewing religious leaders. He said the more that he did it, the less he got good answers. And out of intellect, he couldn't make the leap. And the sad part is the example he used. It was an interview with a Christian evangelist, renowned, world-renowned. And Larry King asked this fella, how do you explain the Holocaust? That's a big question, right? It's like the peanut question that the world is after. If he's a God of love, why is there so much suffering in the world? I call it the peanut question because I was talking to an elder of another chapel about this, and he said, people with that mindset got a brain like a peanut. They don't know God. But that's a big question. You know, and this is this evangelist's big chance, right? Normally he's preaching to like thousands of believers. Now being on Larry King Live, guaranteed the majority of the audience are non-believers. So this is his chance to explain the ways of God. This is his chance to explain the wickedness of mankind and to explain the grace of God, the love of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does this guy say? We can't explain the ways of the Lord. Perhaps one day when we're with the Lord, we'll have the answers. Oh, like, come on. What do you mean we can't explain the ways of the Lord? We have the Bible. And I believe the Bible has the answers to absolutely everything we could throw at it. People think it should be like a Ouija board. You know, you ask it a question, and there's the answer, right? No, we have the Bible, and through the Bible, we get to know God. We get to know how he thinks, how he feels, and his will, to the point where we know him enough, where we have the answers to any question that anybody could throw at us. It's the power of the word. So Larry King guaranteed he rolled his eyes. Come on, that's the best you got? I was kind of planning on going off on a ranting tangent about this, but you know, God doesn't get the glory there, does he? As Watchman Nee would say, truth is given to set people free, not to find fault. Write that down. That's a good one. So getting back to the interview, there's two things that Larry King said that I want to draw your attention to. The first one is that he was not getting good answers from interviewing these religious leaders. And there's probably one of two reasons for this. The first of all, perhaps he wasn't getting good answers. Perhaps he never did hear the truth. Perhaps nobody did share the true word of God with him. I don't know. I don't know who he interviewed. I don't know what questions he asked. I don't know what answers he got. But there is perhaps a possibility that that's why. The second, and more likely, the more probable reason is that he heard the word, but the seed fell by the wayside. Right? That's what Jesus says. When the seed falls by the wayside, it is when somebody hears the word, but they do not understand it. And then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was planted in the heart. Ooh, there's that roaring lion again, right? That's scary. Taking the actual word of God out of people's hearts, turning them away from God. See, but what Larry King has to realize and what people have to realize, that the understanding of the truth does not come from good answers, from people. Jesus was talking to his disciples and he said, who do people say that I am? John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But he said, well, who do you say that I am? Peter says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, bingo. Oh, wait, I said bingo. Jesus said, flesh and blood has not shown this to you, but my Father in heaven. I lost my train of thought here. Sorry, I know this. So one man plants, another man waters, but God gives the increase. But there cannot be any increase if the soil is not good. And for the soil to be good, someone else has to get involved. Isaiah says that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them. But Paul adds to it, and he says, but it has been revealed to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Ah, the Spirit, that's who we need to make the soil good. That's who we need to come to testify that the Word is truth. That's who we need to come and help us to understand the Word of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech thee, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be ye not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yeah, that sounds nice, eh? That's good. That's what we need. That's the power of the Spirit. It comes and indwells with our spirit. It renews our spirit. It renews our soul. It renews our mind. Paul tells his Corinthian readers that the natural man cannot receive the things of God. But we, this is the good part, we have the mind of Christ. Yeah, that's exactly what we're looking for, right? You want to get to know the Father, you have to get to know the Son. You want to get to know the Son, you need to have the mind of Christ. No one knows the Son but the Father. No one knows the Father but the Son. Well, that's all fine and dandy, but that doesn't help us, does it? But Jesus goes on, he says, nobody knows the Father but the Son and the one to whom he is willing to reveal him to. Wow. Now, if you're like me, in your Bible, in that verse, you got that word me, or the word one circled with the line to the side, you got me. And thank you, Lord Jesus. For he was willing to reveal the Father to me through the Spirit. So we see here, we have the work of the triune Godhead, the Trinity, working together so that we can understand God's Word, so that we can understand God, so that we can know him. We have the Father revealing the Son. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, or my Father in heaven. We have the Son revealing the Father, as we just said. No one knows the Father but the Son and the one to whom he is willing to reveal. And we have the Holy Spirit revealing both of them, testifying of both of them. Paul says that the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of glory, has given us the Spirit of wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of him, the power of the Spirit. Jesus says to his disciples, when I go, I will send another, and he will tell you of me. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God, all working together that we may know him, that we may understand God. The Jews seek a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block. To the Greeks, foolishness. But to the ones who are called, both Jews and the Greeks, Christ. The power of God, the wisdom of God. End of story. Class dismissed. No, there's more. Another thing that Larry King said in his interview was that out of intellect, he could not make the leap. It doesn't take intellect to make the leap, right? It takes faith. Let's rewind this VCR of time and go back to over 19,000 years ago. To that day, 1,900 years ago. To that day where the earth stood in darkness. To the day where our Savior hung on a cross. And crucified beside him were two criminals. One, along with the Jewish and the Roman throng, mocked him and blasphemed him. And he said, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. which Jesus did not respond. But the second, his response was not out of intellect. It was not a matter of contemplating who Jesus was, kicking around the pros and cons, you know, or what these people saying, is it true? Is he the Son of God? Is he not? It was a response of faith. Oh, precious faith. Faith enough, faith, if you think about it, the faith he had to utter what he did. Look at who he's saying it to. A man, half naked, beaten half to death. A man forsaken, rejected by the religious leaders of his own country. A man who resembles nothing of a Christ, of a Messiah, of the Son of God, a man who resembles nothing of a king but the crown of thorns on his head. But through faith and through the whispering of the Holy Spirit, this man could look at Jesus and say, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Wow! Now that's faith. And as with every proclamation of faith we read in the gospel, there is a wonderful response. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Double wow. That's beautiful. I need a green book. Song 409, I know whom I have believed. We're not going to sing. I'm not going to sing. I may dance like Michael Jackson, but I can't sing like him. So I just want to read a few verses from a song here. But I'm going to change it up a bit because the writer of the song puts the word not in there. I know not why, I know not how, but I beg to differ because I think we do know. I know why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known. And why unworthy Christ in love redeem me for his own. I know how this saving faith to me he did impart, and how believing in his word wrought peace within my heart. I know how the Spirit moves, convincing me of sin, revealing Jesus through the word, creating faith in him. Beautiful. Right, Cynthia? Beautiful. Gold, Jerry. So I said there are two pursuits we're after. Understanding and faith. But there's another. Something bigger, something better. Something more of a result of the first two. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, that though I have understanding of all mysteries, of all knowledge, although I have all faith, enough to move mountains, but have not, say it out loud, Marion, love, but have not love, I am nothing. Let me paraphrase. Although I have full understanding who God is, although I have complete faith in who God is, if I do not love God, I am nothing. Not I know nothing, but I am nothing. Like the grass that withers, like the animals that perish. One of the most beautiful stories in the Gospels, I believe, is when Jesus gets invited to a Pharisee's house to eat. Aaron, you love this story too, right? And a woman comes in and she collapses at Jesus' feet and begins to cry. Tears enough to wash his feet. And the Pharisee thinks to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what manner of woman this is. Ironic, isn't it? Because in reality, of the three, he's the only one who's not knowing. Jesus knows who this woman is. And the woman knows who Jesus is. She understands that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that he has the power to condemn. It is he who judges sin. That is why she's collapsed at his feet crying. She has faith that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that it is he who has the power to forgive her of her sins. That's what brought her there in the first place. And she loves the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is why Jesus says to her, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Why? Because Jesus says, because she loved much. Beautiful, isn't it? So now we see the importance of knowing God, the importance of understanding him, the importance of having faith, because it leads to love. With all that we have, all the resources that we have, the Word, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, we can now say, I understand who God is. And I understand that he loved me so much that he gave his only Son so that if I believe in him, I shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now we can say, I have faith. Faith that if I confess my sin, that he is faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And knowing God, we can say with the power of the Holy Spirit that I love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. Know the Lord. Know that I am Lord. Be still and know that I am God. Seek him while he can be found. Call on him while he is near. Now Steve's going to come up and sing a song for us. No way. Let's close in prayer. Our dear God and Heavenly Father, we cannot thank you enough, Lord Father, for this word that which you have given to us. The word, your Spirit, and your Son. What we need to know you. We thank you, Lord Father, that in the word we read of your desire for us to know you. Thank you that we read that you know us, that before we were formed in the womb, you knew us. Thank you that knowing you leads to loving you. For we love you because you first loved us. In the name of Jesus.